نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، وعليك وعليه السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Please send my salam to Sheikh Hadley. I would have the honor actually to meet him. I didn't have the chance to meet him in America, which is my loss. But inshallah, may Allah make it easy for me to meet him inshallah sometime soon. So please send my salam to him very much inshallah. أما بعد، فإن أصبح الحديث كتاب الله عز وجل، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، our topic for tonight inshallah is about bid'ah, about innovation and the results of the bid'ah and the bad things that the bid'ah would make the person fall into. First of all, before we start talking about bid'ah, we have to understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the heavens and the earth and created human beings, He created them for one important reason, and that is to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And this ibadah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave it for people to make their own forms and types of worship. He sent messengers. Each messenger came, he ordered his people to worship Allah alone and to be dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every prophet came, people were ordered to follow whatever forms of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made him teach his people. And it was forbidden for them to make their own forms of worship. And each prophet came, cancelled the ones before it, till the final message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to human beings, which is the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised to save his religion, to save this message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّا نَحْنَ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed had revealed the dhikr, and the dhikr, as the scholars mentioned in the explanation of this verse, is the Qur'an and the sunnah, and not just the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect it till the Day of Judgment. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had perfected and completed his religion that he had revealed to his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. That in that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had perfected and completed His bounty and the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion of Islam. So the religion is complete, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to convey this to all mankind, that the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, which is the religion of Al-Islam. And the proper understanding of this religion, as we know, is following the Qur'an and following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way the Salaf al-Salih had understood it, the way the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had understood this religion, because they were the ones that this revelation had been revealed while they were present. So the most people that understood this religion in the proper way. And then came the generations after the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, and actually at the end of the time of the Sahaba, innovations start appearing, and people start innovating in the religion of Al-Islam. And this innovation, some of it was in the matters of creed, and some of it was in the matters of worship. And these are the types of innovation that we will mention, inshallah, tabarakah wa ta'ala. First of all, what is the definition of bid'ah? The definition of bid'ah, it's an Arabic word which really means innovation. And bid'ah is basically to create something without precedence. Is that you make something new, without any precedence, without any past resemblance to it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, that He is badi'u as-samawati wal-ard, that He is the originator of the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala originated the heavens and the earth without any previous example that He had imitated it to. So He is the one that invented the heavens and the earth, originated it, and that comes the word badiyah, which is forms of the word bid'ah. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, that say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am not a new thing among the messengers. مَا كُنْتُ بِدْعًا مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, that He is not a new way or a new thing among the messengers. It's the same message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent before, in which to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and not to worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In matters of religion, the definition of bid'ah, which is very important for us to understand the proper way, so that we don't have confusion in so many little things that we might consider bid'ah, in which it's not, or the opposite way. Al-bid'ah, as the scholars had defined it, in Arabic, I would read it first in Arabic, and then I'll try to translate it as best as I can do. They would say, طَرِيقَةٌ فِي الدِّينِ مُخْتَرَعَةٌ تضاهي الشرعية يقصد بالسلوك عليها ما يقصد بالطريقة الشرعية وهي التعبد لله سبحانه. Which roughly translate that bid'ah is an innovated way in the matters of the religion, which is something very important. It's an innovated way in the matters of the religion. Similar to the things that are already in the religion from the Quran and the Sunnah. The intentions while committing it is similar to the intentions in matters of worship, which is seeking the pleasure of Allah. So this is the definition of bid'ah, of innovation. Innovation is something in the matters of the religion, in matters of worship, in matters of rituals that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had set for us to worship Him, similar to the proper way that is mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. And a person that commits a bid'ah, not necessarily doing it to destroy the religion or have an evil heart, but sometimes and most of the times the person that commits an innovation, he's doing it really for the sake of Allah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the same intention that a person would have whenever he is seeking the pleasure of Allah from matters of the religion that is in the Quran and the Sunnah. Also, innovation or bid'ah is something that has no evidence from the religion to support it. Something in the religion that has no evidence. People made up in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had predicted that this would happen in his ummah. He said alayhi salatu wa salam in the authentic hadith, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَأَ فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاءِ. قيل يا رسول الله وما الغرباء؟ قال الذين يصلحون عند فساد الناس. وفي رواية الذين يحيون ما أمات الناس من سنتي. This hadith roughly translates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم states that Islam started strange among people and it would end up being strange again among them. Then he صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فطوبى للغرباء, glad tidings for those strangers. And then he was asked alayhi salatu wasalam, and who are those strangers? He said alayhi salatu wasalam, those who are righteous when people are wicked. Also he said alayhi salatu wasalam, those who make my sunnah alive when people had rejected it or ignored it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to call his people to tawheed, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. What happened to his people? They rejected it. Why? Because he brought something new to them. They said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجَابٌ. Has he made the gods all into one? Verily, this is a curious thing. And at the end of the time of the Sahaba, these innovations started, and the Prophet ﷺ had predicted that also. And he said in the authentic hadith, اختلطت اليهود على 71 فرقة والنصارى مثل ذلك وستفترق أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة. قيل وما هي يا رسول الله؟ قال ما أنا عليه وأصحابي اليوم. The Prophet ﷺ shows us the way to be among the chosen sect or the victorious sect. And he predicted and he said that the Jews had split into 71 different sects, and the Christians had did the same thing. And then he said, and my ummah, my followers, will be split into 73 sects, all of them into the hellfire except one. When he was asked, alayhi salatu wasalam, what is this, or what the characteristic of this one sect, the saved one, he alayhi salatu wasalam said, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi al-yawm, the one that follows what me and my companions are following today, meaning at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who understand and follow this religion the way it was practiced at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is the way to save yourself from innovation, is that we go back to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and follow the Quran and the Sunnah the way his companions and the next generation had followed his sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in the Quran in so many different verses to stick to the sunnah and follow the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and do not follow any other way but the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, tabaraka wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا, which roughly translates, and whatsoever the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives you, take it, and whatsoever he forbids you, abstain from it. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioned and showed us that the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says or do or agrees to in the matters of the religion, it's all revelations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same way as the Quran. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Nor does he speak of his own desire, it is only a revelation that is revealed. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would love a person is that he follows the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he made it a clear verse that those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have to follow the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tabaraka wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Which roughly means, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to mankind, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Means accept this religion, the Quran and the Sunnah. Allah will love you and forgive you of your sins. And this ayah shows clearly that those who commit innovations, as we mentioned the definition of innovation, that a person would do it seeking the pleasure of Allah. A person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that's how he thinks, or how she thinks, that he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he wants to do things that would pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he does it by following other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's rejected on him. And this is something that is innovation in the religion, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated it clearly, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to mankind, if you really love Allah, then there's a way to prove it. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me. Follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and none but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And follow those who follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if someone brings something new in the matters of the religion, then a person should not follow him, because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we were ordered to follow only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. which means indeed in the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example to follow for him who hopes for the meeting with Allah and the last day. Those who hope to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, then they have in the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a great and a good example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had negated the belief of those who do not judge the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make him his judge among them in matters of religion. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Which means, but know, by your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, judge in all disputes between them, and find in themselves no resistance against your decisions, and accept them with full submission. See how this verse is very strongly negating the iman, negating faith on those who do not make the Prophet ﷺ their judge in all their disputes between them. And plus, it's not just enough to make him the judge, ﷺ, but to find in themselves no resistance against his decision, ﷺ, and accept them with full submission. So obeying the Prophet ﷺ, following the way of the Prophet ﷺ, is the way to follow and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. And if you, and he who obeys the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has indeed obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so many verses in the Quran that talks about the obedience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being strict following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith are so much indeed that speaks about being strict to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of which the very famous hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave a sermon, a khutbah to his people, in which eyes shed tears and hearts became softened, as Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu anhu mentioned, that one day Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered us a very eloquent khutbah, on account of which eyes shed tears and hearts became softened. A man said, O Prophet of Allah, this is as if it were a parting sermon, so advise us. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I admonish you to fear Allah, to listen and obey, even if a Negro slave is appointed your leader. Because whosoever among you shall live after me will soon see much discord. So hold fast to my sunnah. The examples of the rightly guided khalifas who will come after me. Adhere to them and hold them fast. Beware of new things. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْتَفَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Adhere to them and hold them fast. Beware of new things in religion. Because every new matter or invented matter, heresy is a misguidance. Is a misguidance clearly. There is no good innovation or bad innovation. All innovations in the matters of the religion is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the hellfire, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. As I said, so many different hadiths, so many different verses of the Quran that the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned to obey him and to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, which is actually a whole separate topic in following the sunnah and being strictly following the sunnah. Also, Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah tabaraka wa ta'ala, had narrated the consensus of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. The consensus of the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the next generations after them, and whoever followed them, that whoever the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was made clear to him, he are not to leave it for anybody's saying opposite to it. That من استبانت له سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن أن يدعها لقول أحد. Whoever the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was made clear to him, he is not allowed to leave it for anybody's speech or sayings. Also, there are so many different hadiths from the Prophet ﷺ that he had mentioned in forbidding innovations in the religion and making a person afraid to indulge in such innovations and bid'ah. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned in the Qur'an, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ, which roughly translates, and verily, this is my straight path, so follow it, and follow not other paths, for they will separate you away from his path, from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's only one path that would lead the person to Jannah, to paradise. All the different paths that would were there before were all blocked. It's only one path and one way that a person would lead him to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the paradise that Allah has prepared for the believers, and that path is the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to be behind him, follow the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the first one to enter Jannah, and people will enter it after him. So whoever follows other than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he definitely would lead him astray and would lead him to the hellfire. And the famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in it, which authentic hadith narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد, which roughly translates that if anyone introduces in our matter, meaning in the religion, something which does not belong to it, he will have it rejected. Again, if anyone introduces in our matter something which does not belong to it, he will have it rejected. And this hadith is considered one of the basics of this religion, the religion of Al-Islam. As Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah tabaraka wa ta'ala, says, which roughly translates, this is considered, he said that this is considered, this hadith is considered one of the bases of Islam and a pillar of the religion. Also, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah tabaraka wa ta'ala, said that this hadith deserves to be preserved, publicly announced, and implemented to reject the impermissible, because this is one of the basics of this religion. Also, Ibn Rajab, in the book Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikam, he said that this hadith is one of the major basics of Islam, just like the hadith إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that all acts are according to their intentions. And why this is one of the basics of this religion? Because as we know, for any deed to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two conditions has to be met. The first condition, that the deed has to be sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake, not for any other sake. Sincerity is a condition for the deed to be accepted. Sincerity, is it enough by itself? No. There's a second condition. Without it, a deed won't be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second condition is that the deed has to be according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person introduces something in the religion that it's not part of it, it's rejected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept it, which basically a very important aspect in a Muslim life, that these two conditions has to be met for every single deed he does, whether it's major or whether it's minor. It has to be sincere for the sake of Allah, plus it has to be correct. It has to be according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever hopes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should have a correct deed, which is according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he should not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's in matters of worship, major ones, or in minor issues of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, something very important before we speak about the different types of bid'ah innovations, is that any act of worship, and this actually, this is a principle that a person should hang on the wall in front of him, see it everywhere he goes, and memorize it very good, which would preserve him in so many different ways. Acts of worship are all prohibited, except those which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated. This is something very important that we have to keep in mind with. That any type of worship, ways of rituals, like salah, fasting, these things that has a certain ways that the Prophet ﷺ did it, in matters of worship, in matters of the religion. It's all prohibited. The matters of rituals are all prohibited, except those which Allah or His Messenger ﷺ legislated. The opposite to that, in matters of transactions, for example, is the opposite. Transactions are all permissible, except those where Allah or His Messenger ﷺ had forbade us from dealing with, like usury or different types of forbidden ways of buying and selling. But the origin or the basic thing is that all acts of transactions are permissible except those who are forbidden. But on the other hand, any act of worship, whether it's salah, siyam, fast, paying zakah, anything that has a ritual way of doing it, it's all prohibited except those which Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated. That would take us to, first of all, the topic of the of tonight is supposed to be innovations and the bad things about innovations or the bad consequences of innovation. But this is all an introduction to define what is innovation, what's the different types of innovation, and once we get to that, you understand how dangerous is innovating in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are these types of innovation that we mentioned all these verses and all these ahadith, which is only some of so many, that forbid the person from innovating in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as we said, in matters of the religion. And we'll give examples of that, inshaAllah. These types of innovations are of two kinds. The first kind, concerning the tongue and the belief, if we can say. Concerning the tongue and the belief, which basically you see the misguided sects, where they deviated from the right path, because of their innovation in matters of the belief and the things that they would say. Some of it is, for example, major, like disbelieving in, or can take the person outside the fold of Islam. For example, going in circles around the graves, for example, thinking that the person dead in that grave will benefit the person, making dua to him, for example, oh, such and such, help me, or such and such, give me this or give me that. This is, of course, can take the person or takes the person outside the fold of Islam. So they made a form of worship which is absolutely a major one in matters of the belief, believing that the dead can benefit them, going around the graves in circles like they would do in the Kaaba. Also, concerning matters of belief in general, as we said, where the Shia would say, if a person, for example, invented something in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denying the names and attributes of Allah, or resembling the names and attributes of Allah to the attributes of people, all these things are innovations in the religion in matters of belief, that either would take the person to be a deviated among the deviated sects or outside the fold of Islam whatsoever. So matters of shirk, matters of things in the belief, this is all different types of bid'ahs, which is very major. And this is usually what the early scholars, they used to mention bid'ah. Basically, they would mean this. They would mean those who are in bid'ah, those who are innovating in matters of belief, in which they believe in something that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't believe in. The belief system is something unseen to us. So he strictly follows the Qur'an and the Sunnah in it with the understanding of the Sahaba. So if a person twisted the verses of the Qur'an and making their own ways of believing the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a bid'ah, this is innovation in the religion that might take the person outside the fold of Islam. So this is the first kind of bid'ah, which is concerning matters of belief, or matters that a person would say, which is a major issue that might take the person outside the fold of Islam or make them among the deviated sects. The second type of innovation is in matters of worship. In matters of worship. Some of it, for example, is related to the origin of worship. Say a new prayer, for example. A person making a new prayer that the Prophet ﷺ never prayed or never mentioned before. Say, for example, a person says instead of praying five times a day, we'll make a sixth one. Of course, this is innovation, and if a person believes that this is true, then it might take them outside the fold of Islam. Or even making something simpler than that. it's considered also innovation. If a person thinks that a certain prayer has rewards in it, in which there is no evidence from the Prophet ﷺ that he had mentioned that this type of prayer has rewards in it, as people do, for example, in the month of Rajab. They would have certain types of prayer that they would do, thinking that it's virtuous to do it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards those who pray this specific way of prayer in the month of Rajab, that it has some benefits and some virtues in it. This is something, of course, is rejected, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not accepted from them, because there is no evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has done that. Same way, if a person considers certain days of fasting as virtuous, where the Prophet ﷺ did not consider them virtuous. If a person fasts a certain day, his birthday for example, or the day where his country was liberated for example, and he fasts this day, and he thinks that this is virtuous to do so, this is a matter of worship that he has to have an evidence from the religion that he has to do. But for example, if a person wants to fast for no reason, or for the reason of seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, without thinking that a specific day or a specific place or something like that would have a virtuous thing in it, in which there is no evidence from the Prophet ﷺ that would support that, then there is no harm of doing so. Also, related to the same kind of bid'ah in worship, which is related to the origin of worship, say celebrating things that the Prophet ﷺ didn't celebrate. This is something, making something brand new that never present at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Like celebrating the Prophet's birthday, for example, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is something never done by the Prophet ﷺ, never done by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, or the Tabi'een generation, or the next generation. So if a person does that, and the people usually do it seeking the pleasure of Allah, they don't do it necessarily to destroy the religion, or to mock the religion, or anything else, but they do it thinking that they're doing something that would get them closer to Allah. But this is not enough. Sincerity is not enough. They have to follow the way the Prophet ﷺ did things, and the understanding of the Sahaba in it. And there's so many different examples to this type, which is innovations related to the origin of worship. Another type of innovations in the matter of worship is to add to a known type of worship. To add, for example, instead of praying Dhuhr 4 rak'ah, maybe you want to pray 5 rak'ah. A person might say, well, praying 5 rak'ah would make me more humble, I would make remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, I would make dua more, that means I would get rewards more. Why shouldn't I do that? And of course any Muslim, if he hears that, of course he would reject such a saying, and he would say this is not permissible. Your prayer won't be accepted by Allah. Why? If you ask any Muslim why is that, and he would say, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it that way. The Prophet ﷺ prayed Dhuhr only 4 rak'ahs, so we are supposed to pray it only 4 rak'ah. And this is even the innovative people, they can't argue with that. If you ask them, why do you pray Dhuhr 4 rak'ah, why don't you pray 6 rak'ah? They would say, because this is the way the Prophet ﷺ prayed it. So this with the same concept, why do you increase in the religion of Allah that is not part of it? So we should do the things that the Prophet ﷺ did and leave the things that the Prophet ﷺ left, which is, I'll mention that in very few minutes, inshallah ta'ala. So this is another kind of innovation in matters of worship, is to add to a known type of worship. There's different examples to that too. A third kind in innovations in matters of worship is to perform a known type of worship in a new matter. To perform an already known type of worship in a brand new matter. Say for example, making zikr. Making zikr, making remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ had mentioned so many ahadith to show the virtues of making remembrance of Allah. And before that, the Quran has verses in the Quran talks about the virtuousness of making remembrance of Allah. And the person, if his tongue is always in
Salamu alaikum, Aki. Are you still there? Can everybody else hear me?
Yes, I can.
Me too.
Yes, brother, I can hear.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Ibrahim.
Why are you not working?
Yes, I'm right there. Should I keep going? Okay, inshallah. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was mentioning the third type of innovation in matters of worship that is to perform a known type of worship in a new manner. And that is, for example, zikr, making remembrance of Allah, something, a virtuous thing to do. But when a person does it in a very specific way that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do, then it becomes an innovation in the religion. And as I mentioned, for example, people getting in circles and making loud zikr, and making zikr together, or making salah the Prophet ﷺ in a certain way, or moving their heads left and right and things like that, this is not permissible. And why is that? It's because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do exactly the same reason why we don't pray Dhuhr or Asr, six or seven rak'ahs, is because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it that way. Which is makes a very important rule too, which is whatever the Prophet ﷺ left, we should leave too. And I'll mention that inshallah in a very short period afterwards. The fourth type of innovation in matters of worship is to perform acts of worship at certain times were not stated by the Sharia or by the religion. Making a certain way of worship or a certain act of worship at certain times, thinking that these times are virtuous than others. For example, fasting the middle or the 15th of Sha'ban. Fasting that day has nothing or no evidence from the Prophet ﷺ that he would fast that specific day. Prophet ﷺ used to, for example, fast most of the month of Sha'ban, and the most month that he would fast in is the month of Sha'ban, as Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned. But making one specific day in it as a day where people would fast in it, for example, this is something the Prophet ﷺ didn't do. So if a person does it, then he is acting or committing a way of innovation, thinking that a certain time would is virtuous than other in which there's no evidence to regarding to that. But for example, if he fasts the day of Arafah, which is the ninth of the Hijjah, then this is something that the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned. And he said that whoever fasts this day, it omits the sins of the previous and the present year. So we do it because we follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ for those who are not doing pilgrimage, not doing Hajj. But other than that, we have to have an evidence. We have to have an evidence that the Prophet ﷺ did this act of worship to make it part of the religion, otherwise it will be rejected from the person. And as I said, which leads us again to one important rule that a lot of Muslims are not aware of. What is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? Is it only the things he did? No, this is only half of it. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is the things that the Prophet ﷺ did, and the same way, it's also the things that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do in matters of worship. So the things that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do in matters of worship is also the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So if you do the things that the Prophet ﷺ did, you'll get rewarded for following the sunnah. If you leave the things that the Prophet ﷺ left in matters of worship, you would still get rewards because you are following the sunnah. For example, the Prophet ﷺ had clearly stated certain things that he left intentionally. For example, taking a shower, ghusl, on the martyrs of Uhud, or making ghusl to the martyrs when they die, or praying on them, janazah, when they die. The Prophet ﷺ left that intentionally. So the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that you leave washing the martyr when they are martyred in the battlefield. And you also do not pray on them janazah when they are martyred in the battlefield. You just bury them without praying on them. So this is a clear example where the Prophet ﷺ left something intentionally that he didn't do. If a person say, well, I would pray janazah for them, it's virtuous, there's nothing wrong with that. Of course there's something very big wrong regarding that, is that you're doing something the Prophet ﷺ didn't do. And we'll talk about what the attitude of a Muslim toward these things should be when we talk about the danger of bid'ah. Also, there are certain things where the Prophet ﷺ did not mention and did not do. We should not do it either. For example, pronouncing the intentions before prayers, for example, or any other act of worship, the Prophet ﷺ never uttered or taught or uttered the words of intention. He never said, I have the intentions to pray Asr, for example, or four rak'ah, or whatever people would do or use for that. The Prophet ﷺ, the first thing that he would say in the salah, he would say, Allahu Akbar. He would say what? Allahu Akbar. So he would leave uttering the intentions. The intentions, of course, is something in the heart. The tongue does not speak it. It's only in the heart. A person knows that he's praying Asr or praying Dhuhr or praying whatever. But uttering the intentions is something that is forbidden. It's something innovative that a person should leave. Also, raising the hands after each salah, when a person makes dua, after each salah he would raise his hands and make dua. Did the Prophet ﷺ did this? No, he didn't. So that way the person should leave what the Prophet ﷺ left. A person feels like making dua sometimes, there's no harm in doing that. But thinking that every at the end of every each salah, a person has to raise his hands and make dua, this is not the way of the Prophet ﷺ, so this is never the best way a Muslim would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, to clarify this very important aspect of the sunnah, in which that the Prophet ﷺ, whatever he left, we should leave too in matters of worship. Hudhayfa, one of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, كُلُّ عِبَادَةٍ لَمْ تَفْعَلَهَا الصَّحَابَةِ فَلَا تَفْعَلُهَا, which roughly means all sorts and acts of worship that the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, didn't do, you should not do it either. Very clearly, matters of worship that the Sahaba didn't do, then you don't do it, because they are the ones that we trust them, we entrust them in conveying the Quran to us, conveying the Sunnah to us. So how can we then not trust them in the things that they left? And if they left an act of worship, then the Prophet ﷺ didn't do. So we are not supposed to do any act of worship that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do. Also, the four madhab, Imam Ahmad, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they had the consensus that whoever leaves, that whatever the Prophet ﷺ left is the sunnah. And whoever does something that the Prophet ﷺ left is a bid'ah and a misguided innovation in the religion. Consensus among the whole ummah that whatever the Prophet ﷺ left in matters of worship, this is the sunnah. And whoever does anything that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do in matters of worship, it's a clear innovation in the religion of Allah. Another hadith, which is one of the hadith that should be always in the mind of a Muslim, which clarifies so many different things in the minds of those who invaded things in the religion. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the authentic hadith, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَّا وَقَدْ أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُبْعِدُكُمْ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَّا وَقَدْ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنِ. If you are trying to seek the pleasure of Allah, then listen to this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, nothing that would get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless I have ordered you to do it. And nothing that would take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless I had forbade you from doing it. This beautiful hadith states that the religion is complete. If you want to get closer to Allah and seek the pleasure of Allah, you'll find it in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, because he did not die alayhi salatu wasalam unless he had conveyed all the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to convey. And if a person is introducing something in the matters of the religion that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do, he's basically claiming not necessarily with his speech, but by his action, he's claiming that the Prophet ﷺ had hidden something of the religion that was not done at his time. Or he did not convey all the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the religion is not complete. Although a person would never say that, but his action would show that. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, nothing would get you closer to Allah unless I have ordered you to do it, and nothing that would take you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless I have forbade you from doing it. And this beautiful hadith is something that a person should always have in mind. The good expectations of Allah and His Messenger and the religion of Al-Islam, that everything is complete, it's not left for anybody to introduce anything in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, اتبعوا آثارنا ولا تتبعوا فقد كفيتم. Follow our paths, the paths of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, those who followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not innovate because you have been given and conveyed enough. If you want to be the most righteous person on earth, there is enough in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you. So why should you seek anything that is not done by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and understood by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu? So this principle that we need to stress so much, the things that the Prophet ﷺ did, we do it because this is the Sunnah. The things that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do, we leave it because this is the Sunnah also. The things that he did and the things that he didn't do in matters of worship, matters of rituals, for worships that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had showed the Prophet ﷺ. What are the haram of innovating in the religion of Allah? Now we know the innovations, we know the definitions of the innovations, the ayat, the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned about the bad things about the innovation. What are the harm of innovating in the religion of Allah? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he has a beautiful saying. He says, أَبْغَضُ الْأُمُورِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الْبِدْعَةِ. The most hated matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bid'ah, is innovations. Again, the most, that means there is nothing hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than innovations. To clarify this meaning a little bit more, what is the reason for polytheism ever been on earth? What is the reason of people changing the pure religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Adam alayhi salam till nowadays? You know what the reason for it, or the source of it? Is innovations, is bid'ah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the messengers, say Adam alayhi salam, what did he call his sons to worship? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And that was it. Then what happens generations after that? They start innovating in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is not part of it, that it led them to polytheism. So see, the origin of polytheism, the origin of disbelieving in Allah is innovation. A clear example to that, something mentioned in Surah Nuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Nuh, وَقَالُوا لَا تَذَرُنَّ أَلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذَرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يَغُوثَ وَيَعُوكَ وَنَسْرًا. This verse in Surah Nuh talks about generation that came after Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And they said, which roughly translates, and they have said, those, you shall not leave your gods, nor shall you leave wood, وَلَا سُوَاعًا أَنْ نَتْ سُوَاعًا أَنْ يَغُوثْ أَنْ يَعُوكْ أَنْ نَسْرًا. And these are names of their idols. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in explaining this verse, he said that these people, whenever pious person had died after Nuh alayhi salam, they built statues for them. They built it not to worship them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they built them for a good reason. And that good reason is whenever a person is about to commit a sin, when he sees the statues of a righteous person in front of him, he would remember how this righteous person used to advise them and used to remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he would avoid the sin when he sees this. So the intentions were good, but they did something, innovation in the religion. They innovated something that wasn't present at the time of their Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. So because of this innovation, generations came after generation, and the sincere intention had changed. They start seeking barakah, seeking blessings from all these idols. thinking that they get them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can intercede for them. And shirk and polytheism came in charge. See how in the religion. If you see why people worship or claim that Allah has a son, it's because of the innovation in the religion. They opened the door for anybody to introduce anything in the religion. They did not leave it to the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have peace on him, he never said what the Christians are doing. What happens is that people came after him and they start innovating in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the harm of innovation, why innovation is the most hated matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is because of this. It's the root and the cause for every single polytheism and harm and in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the reason of polytheism is bid'ah. And bid'ah innovation is more hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than sins, than basically normal sins. And why is that? As the scholars mentioned, that the person that commits a sin, say a person is on a certain sin, and he's committing it. He knows that he is committing a sin. He knows that he is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a Muslim would feel sometimes in pain, and he wants to repent, but maybe his nafs, his self, is forcing him to do that, or he's weak, or whatever reasons he has, and of course that does not justify the sin, but he is knowing that he's doing something wrong, and he wants to repent in the back of his mind. And one day maybe he repents and leaves the sin. But in matters of bid'ah, matters of innovation, why would the person, the innovator, or the ones that commits this innovation, would repent? He thinks that he is doing something for the sake of Allah. As we said, the definition of bid'ah is that he thinks that he's getting closer to Allah, seeking the pleasure of Allah. So why should he repent from it? So he would never repent. So this is why innovations is more harmful than just sins and disobeying Allah, because the person on innovation most probably won't leave it, because he thinks he's doing something good, especially if he's calling people to follow his innovation. And this is also a sign, which is one of the harmful issues of bid'ah innovation, that it might lead him to the bad ending of his life. Why bad ending of his life? A person, if he dies without repentance, that means he has committed sins or major sins and he did not repent. And if he dies in that state and he's a Muslim, he's in a dangerous situation, whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him or whether he'll be punished for his sins. So repentance is something, is wazifatul umr, is the job of every person all his life, that he always have to repent from sins, so that when death comes, he would always be in a state of repentance, clarified all the sins that he did. In matters of bid'ah, matters of innovation, he does not repent, because he thinks that he's doing something for the sake of Allah, to get him closer to Allah. So it's a sign of a bad ending of his life, because he would die in a state of committing this innovation, which is a major sin. So he would not have the good ending of a Muslim would have, which is another danger of innovation or innovating in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another harmful issue of the innovation, as we mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the deed will be rejected on the person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't accept the deed of the person if he's doing it, innovating in the religion of Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. If anyone introduces in our matter something which does not belong to it, he will have it rejected. So a person would do so much ibadah, so much prayers, so much fasting, so much of things that the Prophet ﷺ didn't do in a specific manner, or whatever these types of innovations that we mentioned, and he would get himself tired, thinking that he's getting so much reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he ends up with nothing, ends up having all these deeds that he did is rejected. So this is the real loser in the Day of Judgment. As Allah had mentioned that in the Surah Al-Kahf, قُلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Which roughly translates, should I inform you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about the greatest losers in respect of their deeds. This ayah, before I mention the translations of it, some scholars would ask one another, what is the most scariest verse in the Quran? The most verse that would scare you in the Quran. Some said the verses that talks about hellfire, the verses that talks about this sin or that sin. And one of the scholars in the early generations had said, the most scary ayah that made me afraid in the Qur'an is this ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in the meaning of which, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, shall we tell you the greatest losers in respect of their deeds? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Those whose efforts have been wasted in this life while they thought that they were acquiring good by their deeds. This is the most scary verse in the Qur'an. Those who do so much efforts in worship, in matters of worship, while they thought that they were acquiring good by their deeds, in which they would see it in the Day of Judgment as nothing. So why is that? Because they did it not on clear evidence from the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, which makes the person relax and not confused in his matter of religion. Just do the things that the Prophet ﷺ did in matters of worship and leave the things that the Prophet ﷺ left. Would make the person so much comfort and worshipping Allah in a clear way that he definitely, inshaAllah tabaraka wa ta'ala, would see his reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said, bid'ah also, one of its danger is that you are saying something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never mentioned. You're introducing something in the matters of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had clearly forbade the Muslims from doing. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. That one of the major sins that a person would do is that he would introduce in the matters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is not part of the religion. As Allah mentioned in the Qur'an, in so many different verses in the Qur'an. Also the other verse in the Qur'an, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. Which roughly translates, this day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and I've chosen for you Islam as your religion. So this is something that we have to believe in it, and if a person commits an innovation in the religion, he's claiming that the religion of Allah is not complete. The Imam Malik, rahimahullah tabaraka wa ta'ala, has a beautiful saying. He said, من اتبع في الإسلام بدعة يراها حسنة فقد زعم أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم قد خان الرسالة لأن الله تعالى يقول اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا فما لم يكن يومئذ دينا فلا يكون اليوم دينا. إمام مالك رحمه الله تبارك وتعالى says that whoever introduced something in Islam, in the religion of Islam, a bid'ah,
Assalamu alaikum, brother. We lost you again there, Imam Ibrahim. Can everybody hear me? Assalamu alaikum, Imam Ibrahim, we lost you again there, brother. Nobody can hear you. The brother left. Is he gonna come back, Layla, inshallah? Assalamu alaikum, brother Imam Ibrahim, are you there, brother? Assalamu alaikum, Imam Ibrahim, are you there, brother? The brother left again. Is this the server, Sister Leila, or is it the gym? Alhamdulillah.